Let me say good evening to everyone. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, saying welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. Brother Harold Robinson is a returned defender on our program. He's been on this program before, and his subject tonight, the gospel and how it saves from Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. So at this time, I present to you Brother Harold Robinson.
Thank you, brother, for having me on once again. And I have a lot of surface to cover in such a little bit of time. So if you would, please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to be coming from verse 16, but towards the end, we will also include verse number 17. And so as we begin, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so as I dive into this subject right here, we're going to look at some things, and we're going to ask ourselves some questions. What does the gospel mean? Well, the gospel translated means good message or good news. So when we read the verse, we see the good news or good message of Christ. Now we must ask ourselves, what is the good news or good message of Christ? Well, in order to answer this question, we must first understand who Jesus is. And it's important for us to do this. Why? Because even Christ himself says so. If we turn our Bibles over to John chapter 17 and reading particularly at verse number 3, and this is the night that Christ was betrayed when he was praying in the garden, and he's praying unto the Father, and it reads, "And this is life eternal, that they might know who thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." When we sit here, we read this, we've now got to understand a couple of things. First, before he became Jesus, he was known as the Word. And he has always been and is our Creator. If we turn our Bibles over to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So when we sit over here, now we turn our Bibles over to Genesis chapter 1, and we read, "In the beginning God created." When we look at the word God, that is the plural form. In other words, that is the whole Godhead right there. God is in the plural form. We must understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all three distinct individuals, with God the Father being the head over all of them. If we turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse number 20 and cruising down to verse number 28, we'll see how Paul lays this out for us. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." So we see there's a clean, distinct difference between the Godhead right there. And then when we go over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when it reads, "Let us make man in our image," you see a conversation that is going on between the Godhead. So now, when we go back to John chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 14, where we see that the Word became flesh. And what that means is he became a man, a human being, and became Jesus. Let us turn our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 23. Start and it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." When we go back, when we go back to John 1, we see how the Word became flesh, and we see how his name was Jesus. So when we see in verse 21, he shall save his people from their sins, this is the good news. And not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Because the reason why this is the good news is because we have to understand that sin separates us from God. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2, where he says, "Your sins have separated you from your God." It was sin that caused Adam and Eve to be kicked out of the garden. It was sin that caused Cain to be removed from God's presence. And as we read in Genesis chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." We see how sin separates us from God. And sin not only separated us, but it also made us the enemy of God. When we go back over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, and it reads, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." This is the reason why the gospel is called the good news. Because you see, when we go over to Luke chapter 2 and reading from verses 9 through 14, when the angels say peace on earth, he's not talking about tranquil times or anything, but what he's talking about is now man can be reconciled back to God through Christ Jesus. So now we must understand that the Word gave up everything to become Jesus and to reconcile us back to God, which you can turn around and see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, when he talks about the reconciliation. But I want to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, because I want us to understand what Christ did for us. So as it reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And now as we turn our Bibles over to to Hebrews chapter 2, looking at verses 13 through 18, that is Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse number 3, reading all the way to 18, and it reads, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, wherefore we speak. But one in certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praises unto thee? And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for their sins of the people." We see God the Son give up heaven to come and make himself like us, to be tempted on every point, every aspect as we are, so that way he can be just like us and die without sin to be our reconciliation back to God. So in verse 9 of that, we see the suffering of death, and we go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse number 18, where it reads, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." What he's talking about is the death of the cross. This we can come around and we see the suffering that he went through for us. In Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 6, we see how they plucked out his beard. And then once again in Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12, when it talks about that our wounds, we were healed through his wounds. You see, what they're talking about, what Isaiah is talking about, is when Christ was taken into the council, when he was whipped with the cat of nine, the whip of cat of nine tails, with the little hooks that ripped his flesh from him. It is those stripes that we are healed. It was that suffering that he went through for us. That's how much he loves us, is that he came down here, humbled himself, because sin was death, and in him is life. And he was the sacrifice for sin to save us from our sins. It is through his blood that we are cleansed. So now that we know and understand who Jesus is and understand why it's called the gospel of Christ, but now rises the question, do you believe? You see, this leads us into verse 17. as it reads, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And once again, over, we look at Hebrews chapter 6, 11, and verse number 6, as it states, that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christ goes on to command and state in Mark 16:16 that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we go over to Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19 when he commanded his disciples, saying, "Go ye out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of their sins, and teaching them to observe whatsoever I command you." We see when one is convicted in their heart, then one must repent, which is Luke 13, verse number 3. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And again, over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Then one must confess in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, when Christ says, "He that confesses me before man, I will confess before my Father. And he that denies me before man, I will deny him before my Father." And we look at this and we get an example of this in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 16, when they were off the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, and Christ asked them, "Who do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they all gave what everybody thought who Jesus was. But then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the confession when one believes in his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he came down here and died for us. He suffered, then died for us, that he hung on that cross for 9 long agonizing hours and then yielded up the ghost. And then on the third day, God raised him up from the grave with all power and authority. And so now if you turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 6, and I will start reading at verse number 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may be abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." You see, it is not only is it about knowing and understanding who Jesus is and what he came here to do, but then it's about us believing, having that good conscience towards God and trusting in him, believing in him. So when he says, if you want to be saved, you must be baptized. Then one goes down in the watery grave of baptism where their sins shall be washed away in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Then when one comes out of the water, he is a new man, having put to death the old man and made anew. Romans 6, 1 through 7, which is what I just read for you, and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it's once one obeys the gospel from the heart that he repents. Once he is baptized, God adds you to the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13, and in Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, which is the church of Christ, Romans 16, 16, which is the church Christ purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. The reason why we are known as the Church of Christ is because we belong to him. We obeyed the gospel message, which is what he commanded us to do. Now, I'm going to hand the call back over to our host, but that is a question now you must ask yourself. Do you believe? And if you believe, the host will guide you to the nearest Church of Christ so someone may baptize you. a faithful brother may baptize you. And if there's any more studying that you would like to do, that brother will help guide you through the scriptures, because if it's not written, it isn't so. We always give a Bible answer to a Bible question. Thank you.